been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Tuesday morning, everyone. This is the June 29th edition of the Best Stocks Now Hour. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Southport Capital, sitting in for Bill today. Also, as usual, joining us this morning is our bond portfolio manager and fellow senior investment advisor here at the firm, Mr. Paul Carlson. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Doing great. Getting back in the groove after a nice week down in the Sarasota
wonderful
area.
Trip. Yeah. Met a lot of great people and got to see some of our clients and, you know, kind of catch up with them in terms of what their goals are and how we're doing with them. So it was really satisfying, I think, on both sides, hopefully.
Yeah, I think, of course, you know, Bill highlighted a great event at the Grove in Lakewood Ranch on Wednesday night. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Paul, we've got to spend a majority of the week with some familiar faces that we haven't seen in a while. Haven't been down, of course, COVID-related, but haven't been down there in you know, probably a good year and a half.
Yeah.
So almost a year and a half now. But, you know, also got to meet some familiar voices. So and got to put some faces with a name, with names and voices. So it was nice to see Southport office down there. Of course, you know, get familiar with the great team
Mike
down there.
Mike and the rest, yeah. Exactly.
So just a positive week, and then of course you know capped it off yesterday with an article that we've had kind of a work in progress for a bit, but Bill and I were finally able to get an article out on Cleveland Cliff, so that
awesome.
Came out yesterday afternoon. It's been doing well in terms of some activity there. So I'm looking forward to you know seeing how that's received, and we'll get into we'll take a peek at that.
Seems to be trending.
Peek at some of those
nice
steel names here in a little while, right? So
yes, indeed.
Yep, but I guess, you know, in summer, I guess here finally, you know, got all three kids out of school at once. So already picking up, you know, lacrosse camp for the youngest. Oldest is, you know, at football camp. And then middle one's got a break this week. And then, of course, probably reshuffle the deck next week. I think the middlest one has a camp. So I know it's summer in the Pacific Northwest. In terms of historic heat wave there, I've been reading some in terms of, you know, temperature gauging. I think it's been, you know, this would be the third day or 3 days over 100 in the Seattle area. So just
Portland,
you know,
Seattle.
So I saw where, you know, basically about 44% of households in Seattle actually have, you know, air conditioned, which, you know, usually the highs average about 71, I think, in June. So being in the 100 degrees, actually, they turned, you know, apparently the Amazon headquarters there is pretty flexible from, you know, went from
COVID
vaccine center. Yeah, right.
Right.
And now it's a cooling center. So getting some mixed-use facility there, certainly, probably not quite what they envisioned when they first put it together, but, you know, just a just an interesting that's why they call it the weather, right? So
you never, it just waited till change.
Yeah.
We always said in Chicago. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Of course, you know, Facebook topped $1 trillion yesterday from a valuation standpoint. Driven, you know, kind of in somewhat surprising news, I guess, to me, in terms of, you know, getting the federal judge actually sided with the company in an antitrust suit. So that kind of hit shares higher, which, you know, I think, as Bill's alluded to, and just, you know, legislatively, there's a lot of risks involved with some of these big tech names. And, you know, that's one, at least in one direction, that fell on big tech side.
So you had 48 attorneys general, right? States Attorney General that were prosecuting this, and just didn't bring any real good evidence, I guess. I mean, who would know that, you know, you buy Instagram for, you know, $1 billion when it was a $500 million company, or WhatsApp, and are you going to prosecute them for, you know, being successful? I don't know.
Yeah, it's certainly there's certainly tons of different aspects, and I'm sure they've got a handful of other court cases, and even, you know, completely opposite realms going. But it is tricky to determine what's, you know, innovation, and then what innovation ends up becoming, you know, when innovation ends up becoming a monopoly, I guess, at some point. But we'll see in terms of market cap and in terms of
I think the judge said, you know, why didn't you bring this case 10 years ago or 12 years ago when this happened? You know, and I think it's valid. That's a valid point.
Right.
I'm not a Facebook apologist. I'm just saying. I think that that's about, you know.
Yeah, you've got to. Regardless, in a court of law, you got to prove your case. However valid it is. So that'll be it'd be interesting to see how it plays out. Certainly across big tech, I know Google kind of had the opposite happen to them yesterday in terms of some news that wasn't as flattering in terms of. FTC, going towards them from an ad standpoint. So, you know, a lot to shake out there. But before we get to the end of the first break, Paul, do you want to go ahead and kind of maybe kick us off from a market standpoint, if you have it there? I'm happy to cover that as well.
Yeah, should we start with domestic or foreign?
Let's go ahead and kick off domestic, and we'll get into the foreign market since they're going to be a bit behind us anyway. More past news, at least from an Asia standpoint.
Well, past news. Yeah. So the S&P is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury is kind of in that range between 1.4 and 1.5% right now. Down. Let's see. We're at 10-year. I had in front of me. Hold on a second.
Yeah, I know it was about 1.15 a little bit earlier this morning when I was speaking at it,
probably
about 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, and the junk bonds are actually at an all-time low yield.
Yep, and you've got the Dow outdoing the rest of the U.S.
equity
markets today.
Yeah, they're making new highs. Yep, the Dow is up 135 at 34,419.
And of course,
S&P
it was. Yeah, it was Boeing. Boeing was pulling that down yesterday. Yep.
Mm-hmm. The Nasdaq down 13 at 14,486. The small cap Russell 2000 at 2328. That's up 580, which is 0.25%. Oil's up 73.42 is where it's trading. It's up 51 cents a barrel, or 3/4%, and the gold per ounce is down $24. Wow.
Yeah.
Dollar must be done.
Yeah, yeah, down 1.36% today. So.
Yeah. Silver, 25.83 the ounce, down 43. That's 1.625% decline. And versus the euro, our dollar is at 1.19. That's down 0.25%.
Yeah, interesting. When you look at the Dow, it always, you know, the way that index is constructed, it's interesting how big an effect bad news from Boeing yesterday had on the
Dow.
Another
one.
And then today, right, it's in the other direction in terms of United having a huge order.
Big order,
You know, that from Boeing. I think it's the largest, maybe the largest single order that Boeing's had. Maybe ever in history. I know it's I think it's one of United, at least dollar-wise's largest orders that they've ever had. So interesting.
They really only have two choices, right? Airbus or Boeing. Right?
Yeah, and they're actually buying at least I think 70 planes from Airbus as well. So it's a it's a pretty wide they're getting, I think, 270 narrow-body jets from Boeing and Airbus together. So.
A little anecdote if you want to hear it. So my wife grew up in Hartford, Connecticut, and Pratt & Whitney, you know, with the jet maker, you know, they would throw chickens into the engines to test. And that was their way of validating
test
the
it.
Engine.
Yeah, testing it from a I was in a plane that actually took in a Canadian geese one time.
So
that
was
we had to turn around quickly, but it's interesting how I think even in this environment where you've got United needs to add planes, you've got to add these things. You know, you got to make these orders years and years in advance. And I think it's certainly for the long term recovery, right? Shows a pretty big strength there. Those types of activities and orders, helping the commodities-based names as well. But we're just getting started here. When we can come back, we'll take a look at, we've got some stress tests, some other things. Not stress tests for me and Paul, but for the banks. So we'll cover that here when we come back. Take a look. Welcome back to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Hour with your hosts Barry Kite and Paul Carlson sitting in for our captain Bill Gunderson today.
Hello.
All right. Yep. We've, still looks like the Dow's pretty much
making new highs.
Yep. It's reflation, I guess, is started back. So we're getting getting a little push-pull in the market. Oh. I know, looking at some of the
housing prices.
Housing prices have been, from that standpoint, you're getting some strong news, economic news today, which in turn is going to, as we've seen, is going to be more highly correlated with the Dow. So good news from an economic standpoint, Dow going
you
up.
You want a housing shed down, and if you don't, it's bad news.
Yeah, and then the NASDAQ, right? And then the NASDAQ is... NASDAQ taking a taking a hit given that good economic news, because if that the recovery as recovery stalls, that's gonna that keeps interest rates lower for longer, which improves a lot of those growth of your names long term on the NASDAQ. So things kind of getting started here in the market. Big news yesterday was around the Delta variant, and then also the stress tests at the bank. So in terms of the U.S. Banking sector, all 23 banks cleared the minimum risk level.
Yeah, I think Bill talked on that yesterday, actually. Yep.
And so from a Fed standpoint, you're going to start, you started seeing essentially every bank that was able, announcing some form of, dividend increase and or stock buyback increase. The one exception being Citigroup. They're essentially going to maintain their current distribution, at least for now. Uniquely, in terms of going through the size of these distributions that they're essentially now that they've all passed the temporary restrictions from the central bank will be lifted, expire on June 30th. So you've got, for instance, Goldman raising their dividend by 60%, taking it from $1.25 to $2. We've got Wells Fargo is expecting to double their dividend. And they're also, can you buy back $18 billion in common stock? And as, kind of the playbook, as we remember, Paul, coming out of 08-09, right? The those
yeah, they've
buyback
been doing
plans.
Those ever since. Yep.
The buybacks, the distributions, that's gonna as you saw coming out of 08-09, those those larger, stronger banks were they were the ones that benefited kind of the most coming out of there. We've got names we own, Goldman. Got a lift yesterday. Like I said, Citi is the only one that was kind of been, of the big six, Bank of America raising their dividend, Chase, Also boosting their dividend. You know, Morgan Stanley's doing, you know, doubling their dividend and buying back more stock. So, and even some of your regional names, you know, Region Financial, a name.
Yeah, we've got that one too.
Yep. And, you know, uniquely, they actually volunteered for the stress test, so they actually didn't have to take it until next year, but they went ahead and voluntarily participated and passed. So,
you know, Barry, is that the money center banks that have to do it, or is it all for the regional or not?
Well, certain tier banks, right? If you're in the, you know, certainly, you know,
yeah.
You know, at the top, right? You know, you're required to do them in terms of where, say, like a regional name falls in, like. You know, Regions Financial being a regional bank in the Southeast, that they're, you know, they actually have, you know, can do it less often, but they actually volunteered to participate, so that's, you know, that's a good sign. Capital One, another name we own, you know, their actual capital you know ratio, what they're required to hold, dropped to 2.5% from 5.6%, so. That's a positive sign.
Yeah.
It gives them more money to lend out, essentially. So, you know, that's you know, just positive news, you know, on the banking front across the board. Of course, you know, kind of the next step, you know, from a financial standpoint, is they'll actually benefit to a certain extent from rising rates. So, you know, a unique play from a distribution standpoint. Like I said, they're also buying back their own stock, which is, you know, which all else being equal, is a positive sign for shares. And then if they can get any, you know, get any spread in terms of interest rates at some point, you know, that's going to be beneficial. Some tailwinds from financial side.
That kind of dovetails into the you know, the house prices going up 14.6% year over year, which is a 30-year high. And then we have Tom Barkin talking, you know, and he's governor of our district, right? South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, D.C., et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting to see all the economic numbers and the ratios with the banks and so forth. So
yeah,
we'll see how it plays out. And with the record lows in, you know, junk bonds, and we're not really in junk bonds in any of our positions, but we do have some that are not quite investment grade, if you will, but they meet our best stocks, you know, criteria in terms of growth. And, you know, we bought the Ford bond. That's already, it's actually already up since we bought it, not to toot my own horn, but a little bit. But, yeah.
Yeah. It's the, you know, seeing, you know, AKA junk bond spread yields, right. Which is essentially non-investment grade bonds. You know, the term junk gets thrown around here and there, but in terms of, you know, actual yields, historically low yield, and for, you know, for you know, below investment grade bonds, which essentially means that you know, that credit risk, right, is being is essentially being priced very, very low. So does that mean, you know, that business was going to pick up and it's going to be easier for companies to meet those you know, debt loads in terms of interest rates, or, you know, at some point is you know, or essentially, we, you know, they're borrowing at too low of a rate, when in reality, you know, there's some significant default risk down the road. I just, you know, we don't know that, but in terms of how we're, you know, risk is being priced, at least in the bond market, it's you know, it's being priced very cheaply at this point, and in you know, in our book, you know, as a whole, from an index perspective, you know, probably being priced too cheaply. But you know, in terms of looking at those individual opportunities, you've still been able to kind of navigate that, and you know, and actually you know, find a few gems here and there when they're actually available, and we can get our hands on them.
I mean, the Ford is double B plus, you know, so it's not that far off, but.
Right, but it's a you know, I think the you know, as you keep seeing the recovery, especially in the U.S., you're going to have you know, you're going to have that search for yield, just because interest rates being so low, and also just the prospects of some of these U.S. companies locally, or you know, in a national level, improving, especially in that small cap domestic space. But Well, we're through the first half of Tuesday's Best Stocks show, and we'll be come back here. We'll hit some Best Stocks Now news and dive a little bit more into Cleveland Cliffs. We'll be back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Hour. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Southport Capital, sitting in for Bill today, alongside our bond portfolio manager, Paul Carlson. You there, Paul?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How are you?
Fantastic. All right. Yeah, just, looking at the markets, I think today's an interesting day to kind of, compare kind of where we're at and then, globally, kind of where the recovery sits a bit. Of course, the biggest news, and I think we're going to get this, and we've seen it with some of the other variants. But the Delta variant is beginning to cause concern. Around the globe, you're starting to see more quarantines, lockdowns, kind of tick back up. Around the globe, and I actually saw this, was doing some research in regards to the steel industry and just how Australia still continues to struggle.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but the Australia, they've kind of kicked some new lockdowns in and around the country. Perth began a four-day lockdown on Tuesday. Northern Queensland, a three-day lockdown. Sydney actually is under a two-week lockdown until July 9th. So, South Africa currently, has some curfew issues and things they're dealing with domestically. For the next 14 days. So there's just some things around. Even Taiwan's announced some new restrictions, and
wasn't it the case that Australia actually and New Zealand didn't have a lot of cases initially, and then I was surprised to see all that. But at the same time, I saw yesterday that they don't have a lot of people vaccinated.
Right. From a weather standpoint, right? They're opposite hemisphere. So this, theoretically, this would be, a busier time for them. Even if it was flu season, for instance. But, to me, the biggest, biggest deal and biggest concern has kind of been Israel, right, which has one of the world's highest vaccination rates. But, reinstated some indoor mask mandate, right, in Israel, and they're actually on the list for Hong Kong in terms of, places that are high-risk countries, for Hong Kong and Taiwan. So real interesting in terms of, what could derail, kind of the global recovery. Right, or some of these variants, and then some good news in terms of Pfizer. I saw where it may not need a booster, that the immune response may actually last for years potentially. So there's
still pretty effective against the Delta, even, right?
Supposedly, the biggest problem I think is. I think the Delta variant has more virulent for younger folks, right? And so, of course, younger folks being the majority of the population that's going to be the least vaccinated. Right?
So. Yeah.
But that's and you kind of juxtapose that to the U.S. as you mentioned the Schiller housing prices going up significantly, also consumer confidence is at the highest level since the onset of the pandemic surge in March of 2020. We've got consumer confidence for June came in at 127.3. Consensus was 119, so pretty significant beat there. And then also
up from May, 120. Yep.
Yeah, revised upward from 117. So actually, May was better than previously reported. Report. So from a present situation index, right, was is up from 157.7 from 148. So. At least from a consumer standpoint, which we know is the driver of the U.S. economy and frankly the driver, over the years, driver of the world economy, that piece of the recovery, looks to be strong. How long that, how resilient that, high of a number is, remains to be seen. But, in terms of, housing prices at some point, prices are going to, outprice, the buyer in the market. So we've got, we was looking at some of the, biggest areas and some of the folks where we have a number of clients, Phoenix area, San Diego, and Seattle, had the highest gains year over year than any other cities. So.
Yeah. And I was just looking at the steel prices going up 3 times. What was it, up threefold over the past year?
Yeah, I mean, you're getting, it
1,800 short ton on the hot rolled coil.
Yeah.
So that's kind of near and dear to me because my father was a steel salesman.
Yeah, just hit a high.
Steel on wire in Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, just hit a high. That was probably, and we'll kind of touch on it in the in the last segment.
Yeah.
But those steel makers are doing, in terms of the price, pricing, right? It depends on if they get that price, right? But current pricing, because some of them have contractual obligations.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, you're looking at over 1,800 a ton, in terms of all time highs or close, approaching certainly decade highs. It's a completely different aspect than. If you're in the proverbial dagger in the heart of the steel industry in the mid 2010s. So it's good to from a country industry standpoint, that industry is kind of peaked back stronger than ever, which is part of the premise of the article that we did on Cleveland Cliffs. So.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think we'll probably save that for the last segment. It's gonna, that and AMD are neck and neck for stock of the day here. So, in terms of, we can get to AMD actually, they've got they're doing up about 3% today, getting a good boost from the UK's antitrust authority essentially approved their. Deal with Xilinx, so that's going to, give more and more credence that deal is going to actually get done. So, there's certainly a couple more hurdles there, but that was a big one. The flip side of that, as we hit, was Alphabet's or Google's negative position with the Department of Justice stepped up yesterday in terms of the ad tech. Antitrust litigation. So you've got good news for AMD and Facebook yesterday, or today and yesterday, and of course Google's kind of the one out on the back end of that deal. Not on the outside looking in, at least at this point. So we'll see what they have. I did see where Taiwan Semis and chip makers are kind of back in the mix, and that's what. We've been talking about in terms of, and Bill's been talking about in terms of, what being on the value side, right, and adding back some of these growth names.
Like the barbell, yeah.
Right, and where, adding back, some of these tech names and kind of, where do you start? And of course, the chip makers were, kind of an easy move back just in terms of, downside risks seem more minimal given, some of the, supply-demand mismatches that we've highlighted in previous articles and just with some of those names we've owned in the past. The other thing is familiarity because we've owned, whether it's AMD purchasing that one back a few days ago or whether, Taiwan City
owned. Look at that, it's up over 3% today.
Yeah, yeah, great. Great news for them. And I think whenever Bill added that one back, I think I sent him an email. I was joking that the kind of the prodigal son returned. That was a name we were, of course, sad to see go, and then hop back into it. And like I said, these names that we're more familiar with, we're certainly more apt to jump on on those a little bit earlier than say we would be some other names. That we might start adding, given, some of the move back towards growth. And like you said, more of a kind of a blended approach, going forward. With the course this time of the year being, a softer time, and some legislative risks going forward. Of course, we've got, see how this infrastructure bill plays out. But we want to have a little bit of dry powder along the way just to take advantage of any opportunities that we see out there. But, we're cranking through three segments now. We'll get in here for the last quarter, and we'll get our stock of the day and get you guys out of here and back into the markets. But we'll be right back.
You gotta go the way you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now Hour. I am Barry Kite here with our bond guru, Paul Carlson. And we're certainly this year, Paul, in terms of the portfolios, have been about going where you want to go, doing what you want to do. Of course, we've turned over a good bit of the portfolio. We've added some, John Deere's of the world, added some, miners, Cleveland Cliffs being one of those.
FCX, yeah.
Yeah, Nucor. And then also pivoting back, getting to some of those names that we've had in the, had in the portfolio for an extended period of time. AMD, being one of the recent adds. And it's performing certainly well today too. Of course, filling in for Bill today, and I saw something. Of course, you come across these different names, and I figured needed to get this one in before our stock of the day. This is not the stock of the day, but Bill will get a kick out of it. Mastercraft Boat announces, just like the many of the banks out there, announced a $50 million buyback plan. Mastercraft Boat Holdings is actually up a little over 4% today. So that's MCFT, if you're following the Gunderson fishing and boating portfolio.
Right. How's that rank in the app? Have you looked?
I didn't look at it today. I know it's up. It's up 4% so far.
I guess it's a small cap. I don't know.
Put it this way: if a $50 million buyback plan can move it that much, then it can't have a huge market cap. Put it that way. Or at least I'm assuming so. It kind of doesn't always work out like this. But as I mentioned at the top of the show, Bill and I had an article published at Seeking Alpha yesterday evening on Cleveland Cliffs. CLF is the symbol if you're counting at home.
CLF.
CLF, and we have that. That's actually held in our ultra growth portfolio.
5/8%.
I think mainly it has more to do about it just so happened there was a story in terms of just steel pricing in general, that talking about hitting that 1800 on the rolled steel.
The hot rolled coil. Yeah.
Right, and so. Given that it hit that all-time high, I think that's where you're seeing some of this stock hitting back. In terms of Nucor is another name we own, NUE. It's up about 1% today on that news. And also Cleveland Cliffs being a little bit more a name that hasn't been as loved by Wall Street. It's getting a bigger pop today, up a little more than 3%. But
yesterday it was ranked 30 in the app CLF.
Yeah, 30 yesterday.
31 out of.
I think today's right around that 200 range. Right.
Yeah.
And when the unique thing is kind of looking at that. Of course, when you look at these boom bust industries, right? You've got commodity pricing, right? It doesn't last forever, right? It's gonna you're gonna get prices where they are, and a lot of times, right, they're going to come back down at some point. And so, with our focus kind of on that sustainable growth, certainly looking at, 5-year price targets to help us, even though we're making, moves in the portfolio sometimes depending on the market on a daily basis, but, we still have that long-term focus in terms of, owning a name for a period of time. And so when you look at, names in these boom bust industries, you want to make sure, that they're, what's unique is that you're investing back into the business in terms of, reducing your cost structure. So the next time, the price of your, say, steel.
And lowering your debt and so forth.
Yeah. So when the price goes down next time, right, you're not going to be as volatile in terms of subject to that price. When you look at, they're going to have a unique thing is they're going to have record amounts of free cash flow over the next three quarters. They're set up to outperform in our opinion. I mean, they're conservatively using, I think, an average price of $1,175. Where the current market's at 1,800, and management's held pretty firm that's the price that they're going to use, on average, right, going forward for the remainder of the year, right. And so, to me, you're gonna, in a classic potential beat and raise scenario, you've got the, you've certainly got the announcement on the infrastructure bill. I think, the good news is in this space is I think, there's a good bit of uncertainty still with, they announced that infrastructure bill like it was just happening, but there's a good bit of uncertainty around, how that gets done, when it gets done. And so I think that will provide provide some opportunities to get into, to CLF over the, for others. Over this, certainly I think for this summer as you're, kind of legislatively trying to get something done before it's midterm election season again. So just one of those unique names. I think like I said, Nucor is another one
Can be found. That article is on SeekingAlpha.com, right?
That's right. Yep, and you can go to SeekingAlpha.com. You can look, click, put in the symbol CLF. Yep. You'll see it pop up there. If you type in Gunderson, in the keyword or authors, it'll pop up there as well. But, just kind of gives you a take on a different side, of the equation where a lot of times we've, been on that growth train, right? Certainly, for an extended period of time over the last few years and just, getting a different perspective and different names.
Over the weekend. I was watching, I just, go through the channels and like, I think it's called The Decades. Mm-hmm. It's like, they have replays of old shows and, it was like watching the Hoover Dam, like what an amazing accomplishment that was and how it benefited everyone really. It's bipartisan and it was just a fantastic, accomplishment of civil engineering and, what we can do is when we all come together. And I just was really impressed by watching that. So.
Right, and just from a material standpoint, right, taking
that
into it's a feat, and we kind of try to, as Bill says, we try to leave no stone unturned, and in this case, no iron ore unturned. So, want to thank everybody for listening. Looking forward to helping. If you'd like to give us a ring, 1-800-1-855-611-BEST. That's 1-855-611-2378. Have a great week, everyone.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.